The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Been running the second half of the show. Greg McElroy will break it down for you here in just a few minutes. The TOL guys will be back. Jimbo Fisher joined us earlier. We will listen back to a couple of minutes of what he had to say during our first half hour on what has been a meltdown Monday, primarily from Alabama fans. Haven't heard from many LSU fans. Perhaps they have already given up. What about it, Augie?
Well, first, have you heard from Larry? Because Saturday night couldn't have been good for him with his condition and all that drinking.
Have not heard from Larry.
Well, I hope Larry's okay. And it seems like LSU is so bad, LSU-itis is infecting Bama now. They're calling for the firing of coaches? Really?
Well, yeah, that is correct. Even LSU fans are – of course, I stayed at a hotel in Kentucky where primarily LSU fans, and I could sense before the game things weren't good. I can only imagine what that bar was like afterwards.
Well, you know, I think most LSU fans, I would say half of our fan base has no brain. The other half does, because, you know, there's still people who want to keep O. But I think the people who traveled to Lexington knew what was coming. And I saw you had a little friend on the set Friday.
Oh, yes, we sure did.
Well, I'm sorry, Paul. I didn't mean to disrupt your show, but, you know, I was frustrated. So that's the best I could do. But, Paul, Eli Gold is under controversy.
Eli Gold done?
I just saw something on Twitter where he failed to announce that the kick went through the uprights at the end of the game.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
But I think you could judge from the crowd reaction that it was good. And we've got to give Matt his due. I mean, Matt finally had his day. And, you know, Paul, you have to eat a lot of words because nobody gave Matt any kind of hope that he would have something to celebrate. Me either. But I also have to apologize to Kentucky because I said they were classless, that I guaranteed LSU would win, and it didn't happen. So I think Kentucky is arriving. I don't think they've got a shot against Georgia, but that was a big win for the Cats, and I'm actually happy they won. But you know, you talked about the obvious with O. What did you mean by that? What's the obvious?
The obvious is that he's going to be relieved here in a couple of weeks.
That's the best thing I've heard you say since LSU won the national championship. But, Paul, did you see pictures of Woodward or Woodward's demeanor on the sidelines?
I think I saw him once.
Yeah, I mean, it was like not just disgust, not just resignation, but you could just see on his face the guy was mad, and he was mad at what he was seeing on the field. I mean, you just played a clip of O talking about the game, and the way he was diagnosing the problems from that Kentucky game, it sounded like he was talking about a spring game.
Audie, that's always been the problem with Coach O. He oversold last year. I wonder sometimes if he has any idea what's going on around him, or maybe, and I've never been in this position, knowing that he's got $17 million in his back pocket, he's going to get fired, he's going to collect that money, and he doesn't have to deal with all this. I don't know, but he's like, you know, you put somebody, you've seen the movie where you put the kid in charge of the family business, and he doesn't think it's, you know, he's running through money, and he doesn't really think it's ever going to burn down. I just don't feel.
But Paul,
I think that's his personality, though.
Well, if it's not his personality, that's a hell of a condemnation because you just basically said O's an idiot. If it's not his personality, that's the only other option.
No, I want to make it clear. I've never called O an idiot.
No, you didn't. You did not say that.
I think he.
I
do think he has a tinge of delusion. I really do.
Well, he's got a tinge of something, and he better get that shovel back because he's going to be shoveling ice in a shrimp
boat.
Well,
listen, Augie, he's not going to make it. That's obvious. And he shouldn't make it based on the job he's done.
Well, it's not just him now. the players, you could tell these guys are not even trying. I mean, the players are not even playing.
Well, no, and now he's got the injury problem. You know, he lost Stingley a few weeks ago. He's lost Boutte. I mean, what do you have on that offense if you don't have him?
Well, even with those two guys, the only thing that could happen to him is what happened. They both get hurt and mess up their chances for, you know, making a career. The best thing is for them to sit out and ride it to the end. But,
well, they're gone. They're gone.
You know,
and
last year after the Mississippi State game, I called for O's firing, and you said, oh, my God, this guy's nuts. K.J. Costello threw for over 600 yards. Did you hear of K.J. Costello after that LSU game?
No.
Where is he today? I'm telling you.
Well, you know something, too? I mean, you're talking about what he's done on the field. I think, frankly, the issues off the field, and there are a collection of them, are probably what's irritating Scott Woodward the most. The deal with the call-in show last week, the situation at UCLA, the pictures at all. There's so many things going wrong, and I fully expect it could be after the Ole Miss game where there's a bye week. I think they'll try to make a very nice announcement, give him his due, which he deserves, but get rid of him, which is necessary.
Well, I'll end this call with this. Hugh Freeze, he knows how to beat Saban. He beat him twice, almost beat him three times. The guy knows the SEC, Hugh Freeze. Thanks, Paul.
Don't think it's going to happen, Augie, but I appreciate your call. If you listened to Pete Thamel a few minutes ago, Scott Woodward is looking for something else, but I appreciate your call. Let's continue, and how about Butch in Texas? Hey, Butch.
Hey, Paul. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Look, I just want to reach out to the Alabama fans. They have nothing to be ashamed about. They were beaten by beaten by a better team. And the reason I say that, remember at the beginning of the year, last year they were ranked fourth. This year they were ranked sixth. Quarterback got hurt against the Colorado game. They had to regroup. They're a good team. Bring on Georgia.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. Let's continue with Tommy up next. Hey, Tommy, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Well, I'm just wanting to bring up that there are still Alabama fans out here.
Good.
We're not scared to call. And for Augie's little question about Eli Goh, that's what Eli Goh said before the kick. Just listen to the crowd and you'll know if it was made or not. Yeah. It happens. I mean, Nick Saban, Bear Bryant, they've all said it. Sooner or later it happens. But I can say one thing. It's like the little Arkansas thing I seen pop on there. Said, oh, we lost to Ole Miss, but we didn't lose to A&M. They better remember they're still in line there. And all the rest of them that are, it may not be a good time for them.
Hey, thanks for the call. Daphne is up next in Alabama. Hello, Daphne.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Daphne, we are doing great. Thank you.
So good to hear from you. Last time I talked to you, we were talking about potholes in Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
Now I want to talk to you about why my husband can't get out of bed. That loss has just about killed him. What is everybody doing? I mean, we've got to get Nick Saban to get his...
Well, hold on, Daphne. The game ended, you're in Alabama, the game ended about 11 o'clock on Saturday night. You're telling me he hasn't gotten out of bed since?
He's so depressed, Paul, it's not funny.
Is he making any sense or is he just not talking?
He's making a little sense. It's like, I don't want to get up. I can't face it. The only thing that he listens to right now is your show. Mm. And so I had to call up and tell you it's important for us to remember that we are Alabama and we will win this next game. And Saban needs to get a little bit of tighter grip on that defensive coordinator.
Okay, well, that's all that matters. Deborah is up next. Hey, Deborah, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Greetings from the Gulf Coast, and thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much.
I just want to congratulate A&M and Jimbo Fisher and Matt from San Antonio. I'm a huge Feinbaum fan and an even bigger Bama fan. And while Saturday's game was excruciating to watch, the Aggies just outplayed them, and their execution has to be applauded. They earned that win, and we lost it on our own, no blaming anyone else. And hopefully A&M will enjoy this and build on it, and the Tide will shake off cobwebs and prepare for next week's game.
That's all you can do, Deborah. Thanks for the call. Greg McElroy knows about that. He was a quarterback of a number one team in the country that went on the road in early October and got beat. We'll talk about what's ahead for the Tide and everyone else right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we've been hearing it for 2 hours and 15 minutes. We also heard from Jimbo Fisher. But let's find out really how we got to this point with Greg McElroy. Greg, what happened? Why did Alabama lose?
I can't imagine there's any overreaction or reaction whatsoever, Paul. I would imagine everyone's taking this real well. I guess here's what happened. One, ran into a buzzsaw. The A&M team that played on Saturday was a team that we expected to see all year long. What took so long for them to come out? That I can't entirely explain, Paul, because I'm not exaggerating, and I promise you I'm not being a prisoner of the moment. That result on Saturday was as shocked as I've been watching and evaluating and trying to have an understanding of what a team might look like in my 8 years of doing this. And I've seen really, really dramatic performances, but it's usually with teams that are kind of on shaky ground, maybe not playing real well, and you kind of saw a potential upset coming. With Alabama, they were cooking with gas. It seemed like they got the attention from Nick Saban after the Florida game, where, hey, if you don't do this on defense, if you don't do this at the second level defensively, then you're going to have some problems. Thought they got that addressed with their performance against Ole Miss, all to come crashing back down to earth against what was a very physical football team in Texas A&M, a team that resembled nothing like what they looked like on Saturday. And Bama ran into a buzzsaw. The best example in talking to people within the program, this was 2010 South Carolina all over again. A capable team with a red-hot quarterback, and you catch them on the wrong day and they can beat you. So this was a very, very impressive performance from A&M. Not just the players, but the coaches too. Just a flawless performance and a flawless plan from start to finish.
And I'll never forget that Monday. It was one of the most epic meltdown Mondays. I heard your name mentioned once or twice from the callers. But that was 11 years ago. Let's talk about Alabama now. And, you know, the criticism continues to be laid at the feet of Pete Golding. I've heard you talk about him in the past, thinking maybe the criticism is over the top. Why do you think it? And you do a talk show in Birmingham, so you've heard it already today. But do you think it's justified, the criticism of Pete Golding?
No, because last time I checked, it's not like Pete Golding's a one-man show that's coaching the defense. I mean, Nick Saban also has a big part to do with what they do on a weekly pan from a defensive perspective. And the reality from the defense is this, y'all, they're not as talented. I mean, I don't know what everyone else is looking at this team and saying, well, why don't we play defense like in 2015? Why don't we look like the 2011 version of Alabama? Because look at the defensive line personnel. Your best defensive lineman right now is Phil Mathis, who's an excellent player. He's an excellent player. But he's probably a guy that's going to get drafted in maybe the second round. And if he had played on maybe the 2015 version of the Crimson Tide that featured Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, Quinnen Williams, I mean, guys all over the board. And we're talking about game-changing defensive line personnel. Game-changing. Take over the game, absolutely wreck you from inside out. Now, Alabama has an incredible edge defender in Will Anderson. He's amazing. But the edge can be eliminated by going in the other direction. So the defensive line personnel, compared to what the Bama fan is accustomed to, is nowhere near what it's been in years when they've had a dominant defensive group. They don't have a Jordan Davis like Georgia has. They don't have a guy on the interior that can completely destroy the opposing team's offensive line. And that's the biggest difference. And if you look back, and a lot of people have said, well, Pete Golding's the reason. No, Pete Golding's not the reason. The personnel is the reason. And it's really kind of eye-opening, frankly, because that was a group, Paul, that was second to no one when it comes to depth and talent for a very long time. However, these last couple years, really dating back to, say, 2017 or so, these last couple years, that defensive line has not been anywhere near as dominant, has not been anywhere near as disruptive, and hasn't really had the depth that we've become accustomed to for a long time.
Let's flip it over to the offense, which still put a lot of points on the board, but not enough. What do you see there?
Right now, a lot of people are very frustrated with the inability or the lack of willingness to really establish a dominant run game. And I can understand that a little bit, too, because as I watch it, I think there were plenty of opportunities there this past weekend, Paul, to really lean on Brian Robinson. Brian Robinson right now, Bryce Young is obviously amazingly good, but Brian Robinson is their second best offensive player. And right now, he is just not, I think, getting enough touches based on the offensive play calls. The reason why he's not getting a lot of touches is because a lot of those offensive run plays are tagged with an RPO. Not all of them, not to the extent that some other teams use the RPO, but when you have an RPO, it basically tells the offensive line, hey, we could throw it here, so do the best you can, but don't go downfield too far, because if you go downfield too far and we throw it, it's a penalty. So you're really putting an awful lot on the offensive line, as opposed to back in 2015 or the teams that I was a part of or the early 2010s. When you called a run play, that offensive line knew that they could go 5, 10, 20 yards downfield and block because we were running it. There's no way we were going to throw it. So I think the RPO and the use of the RPO has kind of taken away from the run game a little bit. While empowering the quarterback, it's kind of hurt the identity of what Alabama fans expect from their offense, and I think that's been a difficult pill to digest.
Greg, as we look ahead, Alabama fans, some of them at least, are thinking about Georgia and what they need to do. Now, I want you to look at the rest of the season before we get to the championship game, and what would concern you as you look to Mississippi State and Tennessee, and then obviously LSU, Arkansas, Auburn, for Alabama to be able to get to Atlanta?
My biggest concern about this Alabama football team is the leadership. And that's really what it comes down to. There's a lot of youth on this team. There's a lot of players that I think when you watch the film, there's not ridiculously great effort on a down in, down out basis. And that is the tiniest bit concerning. And I thought, I really did, Paul, I thought that Florida would be the wake-up call that the roster needed, and it wasn't. It looked as though they kind of went through the motions at times on Saturday, and as a result, they got their tail kicked. So I think the biggest concern for Alabama moving forward is how will you respond? Nick Saban always says it's not about what happens, it's about how you respond. And it's going to be really interesting, I think, to see what the leadership does within the locker room. Who is the guy, who's the alpha dog on the offense that's going to say, hey, man, you're doing it my way, we're doing it this way, and this is the way things are going to go from this point forward. Who's the alpha dog on defense? Who's the player in a player-led group? The best teams are always player-led. Who is that guy going to be? Now, there's some really, really strong personalities on this team, and I think they'll be all right. But you just to see them perform the way they did this past week, and to hear kind of what you're hearing out of Tuscaloosa about guys' commitment to what it is they're trying to get done, it is a little bit concerning. They still have as much talent as anybody, can still do everything they want to do on the schedule, can still beat anybody in the country. But I think they learned this past week, not only can they beat anyone, they can also be beaten by anyone if they don't do what they need to do in the week leading up to perform at the highest level.
You've been there on the Monday after a loss. You referenced the game against South Carolina. What's it like around there? What are you hearing? What did you hear at that time? And what do you think those guys are hearing right now from the coaches?
Well, I think every player handles it a little differently. I, for one, Paul, wanted to die. I mean, it's you're in mourning to a certain extent, but you don't have a very long time to lick your wounds. I mean, you got to get back up, watch the tape on Sunday, get out there at practice on Monday and try to figure out how to get things addressed so it doesn't happen again. And it's awful. I mean, it's absolutely awful to have to bounce back from a loss. And I know a lot of the fans, and I heard the caller a second ago that was on with you, her husband hasn't gotten out of bed. That's how I felt, you know, after we lost games. I didn't want to get out of bed. You put your whole week into it. You put, in some cases, years of effort and sacrifice to have to go out there and try to perform and try to win. And when you come up short, it's absolutely agonizing. And at that place, it's even more significant than at other places because the expectation level is so insanely high. But you don't have enough time to dwell, not in this league. If you do dwell, there is not a single team that can't beat you in this league, with the exception of maybe one being Vanderbilt because they can just get outclassed because of the lack of personnel that they might have. But we've seen terrible teams in the SEC give great teams all they want, and that can happen any given week in this league. And I think that's something that Bama needs to be real mindful of, because if they think they're just going to roll into Davis Wade Stadium this weekend and play against a Mississippi State team that's hungry and rested and just beat that A&M team that beat Bama, you think Mississippi State doesn't have some belief? Oh, they do. And you know that place is going to be chaotic. So Bama doesn't have time to sit back and dwell and mourn. They have to come out this week, have a great week of practice. Coach Saban, I think, has the team's attention. And if they don't, they'll be in for another rude awakening on Saturday. But I happen to think they're going to be in good shape.
Greg McElroy joining us with a recap of the Alabama game. Thank you, Greg. We really appreciate it. We are heading to a break. We'll recap a little bit of what Jimbo Fisher told us 2 hours ago. More of your phone calls as well.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Chris is up next. Hey, Chris, good afternoon.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Chris, we're doing well. Thank you.
All right, first-time caller, and, you know, Paul, I ran across you one time up there in the first-ever college football playoff game in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh,
a long time ago. But, Alabama versus Washington. And I want to kind of touch on Alabama a little bit.
Sure.
All Alabama fans are kind of freaking out, and you have some saying, you know, calm down, everything's fine. Well, there's something that you need to remember. You've got a couple of offenses coming up that you got to worry about. Texas A&M hadn't done anything over the past couple of days, or past couple of weeks, rather. And then they come up and shock the world, defeat Alabama, and, you know, you got to worry about Tennessee. They've put it together over the past couple of weeks offensively. And then if Auburn figures out that they can get rid of Bo Nix and put the other guy in, I can't remember his name, but they put him in, and Alabama may have fits. Running quarterbacks have always given Alabama fits. On the east side of things, I heard a caller earlier talking about how Georgia always falls. Well, that has typically been true, but the Florida Gator fans, they need to realize that they need to be rooting for Georgia this week and hope they beat Georgia when it comes to that time, because Kentucky holds the tiebreak over them. And so just trying to put it all into perspective, I still see Georgia and I still see Alabama going in to the SEC championship game. But the thing that kind of confused me, I heard Legend mention earlier talking about having a Nick Saban life-size poster in his bedroom.
He did say that.
What's up with that?
I mean, I want to say even I don't have that. Thanks for the call. Let's it's not that funny. Lynn is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Lynn.
Hey, it's your social worker from South Carolina.
Oh, wow.
I haven't been able to call in for a while because of work schedule, et cetera. Just to remind you of my allegiance, Roll Tide, that's not going to change. Am I the only person in the world that was not surprised that A&M beat Alabama?
I think you were.
My football fanatic friend will tell you that at the beginning of the season, I told him, we're going down to A&M. Watch out. I did. How did I know? Just a feeling. But anyway.
Well, Lynn, yeah, I think before the season, you could certainly mark that down. It was the problem was after the season started, it became more difficult to make that call.
I didn't change my mind.
Well, good. You were
In
right.
In fact, at the beginning of the game, I told him, hey, we're going down, but I'm watching anyway. McElroy, I think, hit a nail that nobody else has hit. We're not playing as a team. There isn't a clear leader, and that's a problem. But, you know,
Lynn, because, you know, the quarterback is supposedly the leader. He's also the one that got the biggest paycheck every week. And you do have to wonder the things that we have looked past, all this new money coming into college players. I don't know whether that upsets the continuity or not, but chemistry is critical. You understand that. You work in the social work industry, and a team without chemistry is always heading for an iceberg.
And they don't have chemistry. But enough said. I have another concern. I have a vested interest in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, I call myself a member of the Beam Team. I know everybody else says it's a Shane train.
Right.
But I call it the Beam Team. I have a vested interest in them winning their last game of the season. I didn't get to watch the game. What happened in Tennessee? They got
snuffed. Well, I mean, Tennessee, thanks for the call, by the way. Tennessee has a really explosive offense, and they have just manhandled inferior defenses, and Missouri and South Carolina is a good back-to-back combination to really get yourself going. And I think they have themselves in a great spot right now. You knew this call was coming in, and it is here. I-Man is next.
Well, well, well. you know, Paul, I've said it for years. There's no better radio than your show after an Alabama loss. And it follows up true to form. Alabama loses. Alabama fans violent. There was a fatality in Bessemer, Alabama, because of the football game. You know, who's better, who's not. And then you got all these people coming in here wanting to fire different folks. And did you pick up on something when Legend called? Oh, and congratulations to Matt from San Antonio. But when Legend was talking about Matt being his daddy and behind him spanking him, did you kind of get a little glisten of joy from Legend from that?
Yeah, I thought I'd accidentally been connected into a 900 number.
I'm telling you, and I ain't paying for that call. But I think he's starting to enjoy it.
I thought I had that blocked on my television channel.
Well, I kept waiting for the bleeps, and then nothing happened. And he seemed to get a little bit more excited.
I mean, he didn't just say that word. I mean, he punched it out.
Yes, he did, and he said it several times. And you know, I think Jim kind of liked it too. Now, who is Jim to call in and try to take up a Legend? Legend has his own call. I mean, Jim don't have his own call. But, you know, the Auburn Tigers go down to the number one Georgia Bulldogs. Nobody expected any different. The Tigers are growing. But like you said, nobody saw A&M kicking the living hell out of the University of Alabama in Texas. And they did. They kicked the living hell out of them, Paul, so much to where Legend wants to be spanked some more. Have a good day.
I swear, sometimes the calls crack me up. Let's continue. Please. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We will recap what Jimbo Fisher told us earlier in the program in case you were off doing whatever fans do on a Monday, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
On, but let's talk about Bama. The reaction here has not been good.
Paul, I'm very interested in how things have been in your neck of the woods today.
Pete Golding, we heard from his dad a couple weeks ago. He's a high school coach in Mississippi. I hope he was at practice today because the calls, Richard, have not been kind to him. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know, Paul, like on this day, do you spend an extra 30 minutes on the treadmill?
Yeah.
Do you just have like 8 additional shots of espresso? Richard, I see the pregame training montage of you just like going after the heavy bags,
Spencer,
getting ready.
I distinctly remember, you correct me if my memory is faded, 11 years ago around on a similar date, early to mid October, we did the show after the South Carolina debacle.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent the entire show. We had a big monitor up. I was watching your site do a live blog of that game. Do you remember that?
I do. It was fantastic. We were listening to you. You were watching us. This is a great feedback loop. We just get to do this live now. I just get to sit here and listen to, like, Legend call in and wreck shop in the building. It's thrilling.
I will say it waylaid production meetings today because we're just sitting in the bullpen watching the TV, listening to the calls.
Yeah, it was almost 11 years to the day. It was October 9th, Mark told me. And there are some, even McElroy, who was the quarterback of record that day, don't look at his stats. It was fairly similar. I mean, you had, Calzada, who we had all given up on. Steven Garcia was the quarterback that day. And has he been heard from since?
No, this is the thing that we were talking about in meetings. I mean, you need sometimes you need a performance mm-hmm. where your quarterback just blacks out and decides that I'm not going to throw a second incompletion until late into the third quarter. which is what happened. For 2.5 quarters of that game, Zach Calzada's only incompletion was the interception that he threw.
Yeah, and particularly icy because I think we all thought maybe they were done. Maybe they had gone ahead and in the third quarter let Alabama take this thing. Calzada, not only does he come back and throw the game tying TD, right? He gets injured on that play, but comes back in and leads them down for the game-winning field goal. That's the part where they went off script from your typical Alabama throws a counterpunch and ends up winning this game thing. They managed to come back and actually win it. That's what makes this game, to me, so unique in the canon of, like, Nick Saban losses with Alabama.
I'm not trying to go Kennedy, Lincoln, even years and all that. But, you know, the quarterback, the coach that day in Columbia was Steve Spurrier, who had a national championship from the state of Florida. The quarterback Saturday night, Jimbo Fisher, national championship from the state of Florida. I mean, there are some eerie similarities. The number one team went down. It was, you know, both stunning upsets. I think in some ways this may have been even more stunning because A&M had literally been given last rites.
Yeah, and they did the things that you don't do against Alabama. How, like, if I told you that Alabama would have blocked a punt and scored on it, that's all I told you about the script, about how that game played out, what would you think would have happened?
What would you think of happened if I told you they outgained them?
Yeah.
They got outgained. They allowed a 100-yard rusher, right? They had a special teams TD. They had all of the things where you go, well, Alabama should have had this, right? If you look at this box score and did not watch the game, it's baffling. You might think Texas A&M lost by 14 if you're looking at the box score. That was not the case.
And by the way, the odds of Alabama blocking a punt for a touchdown and then giving it back in one play?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is,
stunning.
I remember when I saw it live, I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
And that's one of the times, that's probably the moment where I was like, oh, buddy.
Yeah.
If they're doing stuff like that, it might not be the night.
Yeah, but this is the way it should be. I mean, it really should be. Everybody spends a ton of money on football. Everybody's super over-invested in the sport. It should be this competitive week to week, right? It's sort of a backhanded tribute to how dominant Alabama's been that we get to talk about it this long.
And I don't want to take away from anything else, but this is one of those Mondays with all the great stories that are coming up. It's hard to let go of this thing because we're almost 48 hours from the beginning of the start of the game, and it's still stunning.
No, still, by far. And by the way, Mondays are for film review. That's totally fine. Texas A&M fans, they're hearing this conversation. They're like, let's carry to Tuesday. Let's keep it going. Maybe Wednesday. We can get into Wednesday before we get super excited about our next matchup.
Yeah, I know a lot of teams have a 24-hour rule where, you know, you celebrate the wins for 24 hours and then you can it. No, Texas A&M is going to keep this going and going and going and going. At least their fans, expect.
And Jimbo tried to tell us earlier that, you know, he's been buckled down looking at film of Missouri. I mean, that would be scary to watch film of Missouri, wouldn't it?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, imagine the drop-off there. Now, I know Jimbo's going to say all the things. Anybody can beat anybody in this league. It's a week-to-week league. You know, it's like the NFL, whatever. But when those coaches cut the tape on.
I'm on the – no. I'm as the old person who's like, you know, core is completely hollowed out by the bitterness of former losses, okay? Burnt to the core. I will say this. Who was the worst team in the SEC West last week? It was Texas A&M. It was. And they ended up beating – Alabama. So, yeah, Jimbo's taking nothing for granted because his memory's a little bit longer, and it only has to go back 2 weeks for us to go like, oh, man, who's scared of A&M, huh?
Guys, we're an hour and 8 minutes away from watching you live here on the SEC Network. Thanks so much. We'll be checking in a couple of minutes. Let's try to squeeze a few more in here before we plumb run out of time for the hour. Donnie is up in the Bluegrass. Hey, Donnie, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, it's nice to talk to you, buddy. I've waited over an hour and 10 minutes, but I know Alabama getting beat is the main thing to talk about.
You got it.
The Georgia game, though, in Kentucky next week, do you think it could happen 2 weeks in a row and number one get beat?
It's happened before. Remember a couple of years ago, Auburn beat number one Georgia, number one Alabama in a span of 14 days. I haven't really focused on that game yet. I think we're all probably assuming it won't happen. But having spent a couple of days in Kentucky, Mark Stoops has put together a fantastic group of players.
He has, and I want to say this. Georgia has got one of the best defenses that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But I'm saying this also. If they overlook Kentucky, because Kentucky has got an offense like I don't believe Georgia's played against this year, and I believe it could happen again. And if I was one of the bookies, they could win one of the Lexington horse farms if they gave some of them 24 points. Because I don't believe
that's a lot of points to grab onto. Hey, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Bama Nick is next. Hey, Bama.
Hey, Paul Feinbaum. How you doing? Great show today.
Thank you.
I want to give Matt from San Antonio a shout out. Like legendary, they spiked our ass, so, you know, whatever. And I want to tell you that I listen to his call. Does he ever talk about Auburn getting their ass beat by Georgia?
Did that happen?
Does he ever say anything?
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.